Good morning. Happy first Sunday of Lent to you all. I don't know what that means to you, but hey, that's what it is. The first Sunday of Lent. A warm welcome to everyone. It's good to see you. You brave souls who have risked life and limb to get here to the house of God to worship. And I'm sure that each and every one of us will be justly rewarded by the Lord Jesus Christ by his grace and presence as we worship him. Joining me in the pulpit today is Betty Ann Horbe. Betty Ann Horbe has served this church as an elder before, but this is her first Sunday in her new capacity. So you must be kind to her and sympathetic and encourage her, because here she comes. Thanks, Betty Ann.
Good morning to everyone. Morning. I do hope, as usual, you are sympathetic toward me. Our announcements are in the bulletin. A thank you to everyone who prepared and attended the pancake supper. The Ladies Christian Fellowship will meet on March the 8th.
That's wrong.
Okay.
There is no meeting of the Ladies Christian Fellowship this week. If I could just take 1 minute of your time. The church has been invited to have a table at the Neighbors Day in March, set up by the FCSS to unite community organizations. And I'm kind of thinking we might be able to do that. So if there's anybody who'd like to help me with that from the ladies group or anywhere else, please come and talk to me after church. Thank you.
And I believe the date for that fellowship evening, or Neighbors, is the 21st of March, if anybody would like to. No, it's at the school in the gymnasium while parent-teacher interviews are going on. Okay, there's an elders meeting on March the 10th at 9 a.m. And the Fellowship Day of Prayer is being held at the United Church here in Cremona on the 2nd of March. And I believe the time is 1:30. Other places I've seen it advertised. And there is a baby shower for Adrian Anderson, son of Ellen and Chad Anderson, here at the church on Saturday, March the 17th at 2 p.m. And that's a day for green, so everybody will enjoy March the 17th. And my daughter Joyce Ann and her new baby Jenna are going to be meeting people on March the 10th at the Legion at a come and go sort of event between 1 and 3 in the afternoon. So March the 10th is a busy day. Is there anyone else who would like to share an announcement? If not, Ian's back.
I cannot let this time pass by without making reference to the gentleman's Pancake Tuesday sausages. They were exemplary. I have never heard the men's sausages so highly complimented as what they were at the pancake supper. They were beautiful, and they were so good that people ate so many that we ran out and we had to send a runner to the shops to get some more. So they were great. It was a great evening, and the food was excellent, and the pancakes were light and fluffy, and we even had chefs wearing proper chef's hats. They were doing a splendid job out in the chuck wagon, or whatever we call that thing out there. They did a great job. It was excellent. Now, you'll see from this that we will be celebrating February birthdays. Now, I know on February the 5th, half the church had a birthday on that day, so we should be doing all right here. And there's probably plenty of other birthdays around in that month. So if you had a birthday in February or prior to that and you missed your opportunity, now is the time to step forth and come and see me and get a nice birthday gift. Yes, we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in Psalm 25, "You will show the right path to all who worship you. They will have plenty, and then their children will receive the land. Our Lord, you are the friend of your worshippers, and you make an agreement with all of us." We worship the Lord with our approach choruses, and I invite Susan to come up here and get us to singing. Thank you, Susan.
Grant knows exactly how tall I am. That's really cool. Okay, so we're going to start this morning with Cry of My Heart, and then we're going to go straight into Holy, Holy, Holy. I just did the two today, so. It is a cry of my heart to follow you. It is a cry of my heart to be close to you. It is a cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, so I can walk in your truth. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, and make me wholly devoted to you. Oh, 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 oh. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Open my eyes so I can see the wonderful things that you do. Open my heart up more and more and make me wholly devoted to you. Oh, 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 oh. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. All of the days of my life.
And holy, holy, holy.
Holy. So
Thank you, Susan, and thank you, Laurie. If I was to ask how many people, is that your favourite hymn? I know lots of hands would go up, and I believe that was Peggy's mum's favourite hymn. Was that right, Peg? I thought so. So that was nice. It was nice to sing that. And didn't you enjoy the accompaniment as well? Wasn't it beautiful? You know, I was kind of didn't know whether to sing or listen to the accompaniment or what. Torn between two. Beautiful. Thank you, Laurie. Good job. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given to us this great joy, this wonderful privilege of being able to come together in this your house on this your day. And we come to this place, gracious Father, to this holy place, for it is our deep desire to come and worship you. It is our desire, Lord, to come and lift high the name of Jesus, to bring honour and glory to the name which is above every other name. And so as we worship you this day, gracious Father, we pray that you will accept the praise that we bring. We pray, Holy Father, that you will open our hearts and that you will open our minds, and that each of us may hear your voice as you speak to us through the many and various aspects of this our worship service. Bless us as we worship, Lord. We worship in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17, the covenant sealed with a rainbow. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. And would you join me in the responsive reading, please, from Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause.
Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your
Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
And now for our special music this morning. Clara's going to sing for us. She's just fresh off the red carpet from her recent starring role in here on this very platform as Elizabeth. But Clara's going to sing a piece for us today, which is, it goes back to 1942. It's an old one, and I'm assured it's a very beautiful old piece, and it's called Tell Me, Lovely Shepherd. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you.
Good job, Claire. That was beautiful. Thank you so very, very much. So who does she get the voice from here? Dan? From her father? Of course. Maybe it's from a theatrical father over here. Thank you, Claire. That was just beautiful. Thank you so much. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your grace and your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude, but we ask you, Lord, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. And our thanks to Maren for the great job that she did in playing for us there during the offertory. Thank you so much. Good job. Well done. The children would like to come and join me, please. Call out, extra, extra, read all about it. What do you think they were doing? Two people, no.
What does everybody? Three people know. Anybody else know? Oh, yep. Sophie.
Selling newspapers.
That's right. They were selling newspapers. And they were calling out extra, read all about it, because they wanted people to come to them and do what? Buy a newspaper from them, okay? And then people would read all the news, okay? Now then, how do people get the news today? Now some people still, how many people still read the newspaper? Oh yes. Lots of people like to read the newspaper, but there are lots of other ways, aren't there, of finding out the news today. What do you think? Anybody else know? How do we find out the news? Maren? We turn on the radio. Yep. And some people have a radio which has pictures on it. What do they call one of them?
Oh.
Oh. A TV. Some of us turn the TV on and we get the news. And some people have these gadgets in their hand, and they're always doing this and doing this and on a cell phone or on a people talking on an iPod. And there's lots and lots of different ways of finding out the news today, isn't there? Not just newspapers. That's why we don't see boys on the street now shouting extra, extra, because we've got lots of different ways. Now then, did you know that Jesus was also in the news business? Jesus was in the news business. I'm going to read you something here, which is in our scripture reading, which will be coming up later on. And it says in St. Mark's Gospel, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. What good news would that be? What was the good news that Jesus was proclaiming? Anybody have a guess? Who did Jesus tell us about? Yes.
God.
That's right. Jesus was telling everyone the good news about God. And he went around proclaiming the good news about God. Now then, how do people get the good news about God today? How do you think? Come on, Luke, tell me. How do people find out about God today? Well, some people come... Church, that's right. Good guy. Some people come to church.
Some people read the Bible.
Is that the one you were going to say as well? Yep. I don't know what's coming here. Yes. Oh, good boy. Every night he reads the Bible and reads the good news about Jesus. Well, actually, you can hear the good news about Jesus on the radio and on the television and in church and all over the place, can't you? You can, if you really want to know about Jesus, you can find out. Now then, but how did Jesus deliver the good news about God? What did he do? Did he take an ad in the newspaper?
No,
he didn't do that. Did he go on television? He spread the news. How? He told people, didn't he? He told people. And those people that he told, they told other people. How are you going to tell people the good news about Jesus? By just speaking. By telling people. We tell our friends about the good news about Jesus. That's how Jesus did it. 2,000 years ago. And look how many people in the world today know the good news about God. So what we've all got to do is tell our friends about Jesus. That's what Jesus wants us to do. So shall we just say a little prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us the good news through your Son and our Savior Jesus. And we pray that you will help us to do the same for other people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, is that off my microphone?
It's all good news. I asked you to give it to me.
Thank you very much.
All right, now let's get a circle here so everybody can see. Now we need to move around a little bit. No, we're not public today because I have a little song that makes us emphasize the story that Ian told us. Because when we speak to each other, you know, in the old-fashioned days, people used to go and knock on each other's door and have tea together or something. And so we've got a song about that. So it looks like this.
Thank you, Cathy. Good job. And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 575, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Come to our time of prayer, and can I just say how nice it is to see Elmer back in church after suffering once again from back problems, but the Lord comes through every time, answers our prayers, and there is Elmer sitting right there smiling broadly. Good to see you, Elmer. Bob Tribe, who was in hospital in Red Deer, Bob is now in Olds, so he has improved. So we're happy about that, and we'll keep on praying for Bob that he continues to make progress. He's in the Olds Hospital right now. Please keep him in your prayers. I talked during the week to Joyce Doctor on the telephone, and she sends her love to everyone, but she has a usual problem. She has awful chest problems, and she's got pneumonia again, and just a tough time. So if you would keep her in your prayers. And all of the other friends of ours who you know of, who we need to be praying for at this particular time, I'm sure that you will continue to do that. So shall we just right now bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are surrounded by reminders of your holy presence with us. We see you, Lord, in the reliability of your laws of nature, how our world operates so perfectly and so precisely, and how, because of this, science is able to develop further ways to feed the world and to care for the needy. We are thankful, Father, that you are faithful in keeping all of your promises. And your rainbow in the clouds reminds us of your faithfulness. Gracious Lord, we thank you for our church, which is to us like the ark was to Noah, given to us to preserve our lives and save us from a spiritual death. And so we ask you, Lord, to bless our church family and grant your protecting and caring presence upon all of our homes. We give you thanks, Father, for our children, and we ask you to care for them and protect them and bless them, Lord. And as we pray for our children, Lord, we pray for those who work in our school and education systems, that you will work through them to give these children a good grounding in life. And we are especially thankful, Lord, for those who are in the teaching profession who also profess their love and their faith in you. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless them, and through them, that you will touch the lives of many children. We pray, Lord, for any of our own families for whom we may be separated in any way, especially, Lord, for those who may be in danger of becoming lost in a spiritual wilderness. We ask you, Lord, to send your angels to minister unto them as they did minister unto our Lord Jesus in his wilderness temptations. And we pray, Lord, that they, like our Saviour, may be made strong and victorious in the presence of evil. Lord, we ask your blessing upon our church family. And we are very conscious of those of our family here who are missing from our fellowship on this particular day. Lord, we ask you to bless them. We ask you to just let your hand be upon them, that they may know that their family are thinking of them, praying for them. And for those, Lord, who suffer in body, mind, or spirit in any way, we ask that your holy healing presence may be upon them, and that by your gracious touch, that their lives may be healed, that their hearts may be comforted, and that their spirits may soar. And so we ask you now, Father, to hear our silent prayers for those whom we care for and worry about at this time. We pray in silence. Lord Jesus, as we prepare ourselves for another week of service, another week of praise, we pray, Lord, and we ask that when the tempter comes our way, that in your power and strength, that we may, like our Lord Jesus, like you, Lord, be victorious, and that once more we may lift high your cross and your glorious name. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us for our failures. And we ask you to strengthen us anew. And we ask that in all that we say and in all that we do, that we may be worthy disciples, and that we may bring honor and glory to your holy and precious name. Lord, we ask you to hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord. Yeah, it'll be up on
that as well. That's better than I don't get lost, right?
Whichever way you prefer.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. The gospel reading this morning is from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And the epistle reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. For Christ also suffered once for his sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits. To those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for those readings from the scriptures. Thank you so much. And now we stand again and we sing a beautiful old hymn. We sing three verses of 560. We sing to God's glory for the beauty of the earth. During these last few days, it was my privilege to be up in Banff to officiate at a wedding. And we're just singing that hymn there for the beauty of the earth. And when you go to a place like Banff and you look at the majesty of God's creations, and it kind of makes you feel pretty small and insignificant. You get yourself into perspective as to who you are and what you are in relation to God, Almighty Creator, when you see that what he has created. And wow, what an experience. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So what's Lent all about? What is Lent all about? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Two domestic gas company servicemen, one a senior training supervisor and the other a young trainee, were out checking the gas meters. So they parked their truck at one end of the street and then they worked their way down the street to the other end. And at the last house, a lady was looking out and she was watching the two men as they checked her gas meter. You recognize someone here? And as they finished, the senior supervisor challenged the young trainee to a race back to the truck. He wanted to show this younger guy what good shape he was in. And so the race began and they took off and they pounded down the street. And as they came running up to the truck, they realized that the lady from the last house was huffing and puffing and pounding along right behind them. Madam, the supervisor asked, what's wrong? And gasping for breath, she replied, well, when I see two gas men running as hard as you two were, well, I figure I'd better run too. Point of that story. Well, you may not regard yourself as a leader. You may not regard yourself as being very important. But you are. You are someone's role model. There is someone who looks up to you. And there are others. There are children. There are youth. There is your spouse, your family, your friends, your co-workers and the like who look up to you. And there are people who watch you. They watch you. And there are people who will follow in your footsteps. What you do, what you say, how you live your life is very, very important. It is important to you in terms of how you will influence those who look up to you. And it is important to God because you are God's representative here on earth and He has called you by name. Many years ago, lots of Protestant people ignored the season of Lent. They thought it was a Catholic thing, and that was reason enough not to do it. But thankfully, we have moved on from them, and the Church Universal sees the season of Lent as a wonderful opportunity of self-examination, kind of like a spring cleaning of the heart and soul, asking ourselves the important question, what kind of an example do I set to those who are watching me? How well do I represent God? In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis tells the story of a schoolboy who was asked what he thought God was like. And this boy replied, well, as far as he could make out, God was the sort of person who was always snooping around to see if anyone is enjoying himself and then trying to stop it. And those people who look upon God in this way would most likely look upon Lent as one long God-filled 40 days when we must make room in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes for this fun-bashing divine guest who will check out every nook and cranny of our lives to be sure that we weren't having fun or enjoying ourselves in any way. But even if we don't go that far, the typical question is, so what are you giving up for Lent? What are you giving up for Lent? And that doesn't make Lent sound like very much fun, that we're having to give up things. The gospel scripture reading that the lectionary typically points us to for the first Sunday of Lent is that of Jesus and his time of temptation by Satan in the wilderness. So when you kind of think about this, it's hard for ordinary Christians, ordinary people, to see a parallel with what went on between Christ and the devil and our ordinary lives. We tend not to hold visible conversations with a visible devil. We tend not to get whisked from place to place as Jesus seems to be in this wilderness situation. It seems more that the temptations that Jesus faced were more peculiar to him, and they seem to be very remote from those temptations that we may face in a day-to-day situation. Yet Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says this: Jesus understands every weakness of ours because he was tempted every way that we are, but he did not sin. But he did not sin. Jesus is familiar with the temptations that we face. So is Jesus familiar with the temptations that a recovering alcoholic must face? Or the substance abuser? And what about the lonely divorcee? Or the struggling business owner? Or the teenager who craves acceptance by his or her peers? Well, there is a common denominator that links all of these temptations, this type of a temptation, with those of Jesus. The basic underlying temptation that Jesus shares with every one of us is the temptation to treat God as less than God. The temptation to treat God as being less than God. Now, it's very unlikely that we will ever be tempted to try and turn stones into bread. But we are constantly tempted to doubt God's readiness or his ability to enable us to face our trials in life. None of us is ever likely to put God to the test by throwing ourselves from the pinnacle of the temple. But we are frequently tempted to question God's wisdom and his helpfulness when things don't work out for us in our lives. We forget God's sure promise in 2 Corinthians 12:9, when Paul quotes Christ himself and says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." My power is made perfect in weakness. The devil wanted Jesus to worship him in return for all of the kingdoms of the world. Now, we may say that pagan worship is not a temptation that we encounter very often. But on a daily basis, we are frequently invited to compromise our standards of living with the ways of the world. Just one won't hurt. Who's going to know? Who cares? Let me quote you from a book entitled Dealing with the Devil by Johnny Dean, who is a pretty well-known preacher. He says, "I used to believe that children were born pure and innocent until I became a parent." And he says, "Now I believe in original sin." He tells of when his oldest son was only young, and he took him outside with him one afternoon to play while he was doing some yard work, hedge trimming or something like that. And before starting his work, he took his young son, he looked at him full in the face, eye to eye, and he gave him detailed instructions on where he was permitted to play. And more importantly, quite deliberately, he told him, quite definitely, where he was not permitted to play. "You cannot play in the street. It is very dangerous out there. You cannot play in the street. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?" And young Kevin solemnly looked at his dad and nodded his head and said, "Yes, Daddy." And his father continued, "I put him down and he ran straight to the curb and put one foot in the street and then turned his head and looked at me and smiled." And he adds, "Right there and then, I knew something of the way that God must have felt in the Garden of Eden." What is there in our genetic makeup that seems to draw us to the forbidden? Why are we determined to have those very things that are denied us? You can't have them? Oh, I'm going to have them all right. We ignore the tremendous amount of freedom that we can enjoy, and instead we focus on the things that are limitations in our lives. Does the devil make us do it, as people so frequently claim? In the beginning, when God created the world, the Bible tells us that God created us in His image. It doesn't mean that we look like God. We were made perfectly as God envisaged that we ought to be. And God made us like Him in as much as He gave us the freedom to choose. Now then, you recall how Jimmy Dean's young son was told all of the things that he was allowed to do, and there was only one thing that he was not allowed to do. Think about Adam. It was the same situation, and he chose to disobey God, and hence we had the fall of mankind. Mark Twain made many amusing observations, and one of the observations that he did make was, he said, God made man at the end of the week when he was tired. So God is disappointed in mankind, even in the very best of us. He created for us a perfect world. He equipped this world to provide for us for everything that we need. And then He endowed us with the most precious gift of all, the freedom to choose. Regrettably, we frequently choose wrongly. Every single one of us makes choices, and some of the choices that we make are not good. We frequently choose wrongly. Call it original sin if you wish, but there seems to be a basic flaw within our character which makes us to yearn for and to be drawn to the forbidden. And so God gives to us a gift. He gives to us the gift of the season of Lent. It is an opportunity of spring cleaning for our lives, to tune them up, to get ourselves into a righteous shape in God's sight. We need an awareness of who we are, of where we come from, of who God is in relation to who we are. And God gives us this opportunity of Lent because it is His desire for us to have what He desires for us by His grace. And despite His disappointment in us, He loves us. He loves us so much that He sent His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that is His gift to you, to each of us, eternal life. And so God's message, Christ's message to us in Lent, is repent. Turn your life around. Call on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns this morning, we start with a hymn which is a great favourite of many, many people. And so we stand and sing to God's glory. Hymn 435. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Thank you.
12 to be God's people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
Amen.